district, because those persons that are within our boundaries have a reasonable expectation that if they're within the community service district boundaries, that they're going to receive water and sewer when they want to develop, because they're within the district boundaries. And we are brought back to the board at the board's direction a month ago, you know, how can we restrict policies, water delivery within our own district? And we went through Water Code 350 and brought that to the attention of the board. First, I want to make sure everybody's clear about how does the county really affect water. Those are the deliveries. Those are, as I see them, two mechanisms that the county uses to, you know, really affect their water delivery. Now, having said that, when Concho says that we can control water, that's true. That's the 350 that we talked about. We have the ability to restrict policies within our district. We do not have the direct ability to affect water being supplied to subdivisions outside of our district boundaries. That's county planning that basically has that. We can, our district has the ability to not annex properties. Now, that's a policy decision for the board. In fact, our whole annexation policy is a board-driven policy. I mean, you can change that policy. It's now adopted by resolution. You can, you know, change that policy at any time, you know, subject to the Brown Act and doing that approval. And you have, within that annexation policy, you have a lot of discretion as to whether or not you're going to approve the annexation anyway. So I just want to make sure that the audience and the board is clear from my perspective how the county influences our policies.
And if I can just tag on to that, most people in this community do not know that Cal City has just finished putting in a very large major well on the Eucalyptus, which is outside, which is in the Cal City's depression. There was no public discussion. There was no notice to the community. There was no opposition from the people who usually oppose such things. But if you were going to oppose it, you'd have to go to San Francisco to do it for the PUC. So that, whereas anything that we do here is brought out in public and will be debated up and down among ourselves and everybody that walks in the door, you saw no public discussion. The newspapers weren't notified. There was no nothing. So simply brought the drills in and put in the well.
No. They put a big tent around it so you wouldn't see it.
They put a tent around it because of the ostensible purpose was to muffle the noise.
I know, but I mean, you couldn't see what was going on behind that tree.
Well, be that as it will. The point is that we actually are seeing these two processes being contrasted in the community, because both are going on simultaneously. One is in public, and the other is profit-driven, and it's being done quietly. And I'm amazed the complaints are all about the public process and not about the private process. I don't understand.
Especially when we're cheaper. I mean, the service down the road.
I have a couple of comments. We haven't really discussed the water supply. And I did hear you mention that Cal Cities has a depression. I thought that we were told there was no depression.
The DWR reports a kidney-shaped depression which goes over to the Cal Cities area.
But it doesn't go into our district.
It's from Black Hills to Cal Cities.
I don't remember that. I wanted to discuss the letter supplemental water from San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works that Mr. Jones has been in contact with, and states in here, to date, staff has been unsuccessful in negotiating a sale or lease under the terms stipulated by the board. And there we have to come up with the ability to bank water and environmental and growth-inducing impacts associated with supplementing water supplies on the Napomo Mesa, and the likely success in warding off seawater intrusion, how the cost and reliability of such an arrangement compares to other alternatives. Each of these issues are complex, of course. But the plan would need to address the conservation aspect of your water management program. And to me, annexation is not conservation when we are at this point where we know that we're, you know, apparently we're past safe yield or overdraft. And there's no mention of how much possibly this may cost the district. There's no mention of any money, what it will cost us. And I believe that the district has an obligation to provide water, and it also has an obligation not to squander it, and it also has the responsibility to let the directors know what the cost will be to obtain supplemental water. And I don't see any mention of cost at this point.
What's the status of your ESL investigation?
It's on hold. The experiment going on in Las Vegas is primary for purification. They're supposed to get back to me with respect to the diesel. I can make another inquiry. Here again, the amount of water the district needs it will be determined by the courts. I know there's a number of people in the audience who may want to speak to this item once the board.
Well, I was going to bring it to public comment. I'm going to slow down up here a little bit. Any public comment on this particular item, and I'll bring it back to the board.
Jesse Hill, 1910 Grant Avenue, and I paid my first bill in the Pomo Community Services District, and I was surprised that nobody came in and wanted to get my retrofit from me, because I got one of the big Al Bundy flushers that can do some damage here. So anyway, wanted to make some comments about how I sort of see the county and some of the interface that you guys have been discussing, and just one just sort of gratuitous comment that this board under the Public Resource Code could request the environmental documents from Cal Cities for this area, and if they were published, I'm sure there would be potentially more interest from people going up to San Francisco possibly to complain about anything with respect to environmental documents and Cal Cities. So that would just be a suggestion. I can't remember the Public Resource Code section, but I'll gladly provide it to you if there's interest, but that might be a good thing to publish what Cal Cities is doing. The other thing is that I think we actually were making some progress. Mr. Jones and Mr. Blair and I were down at the county yesterday, and I gave them a fairly large chunk of documents that you've all seen before, nothing particularly interesting or unfamiliar, but it really, I think, put on them because they were changing the planning area standards in the Summit Station area on two counts. Number one, they were going to change the size of the lots, and that was going to add 40 additional homes because of Now Robertson. It used to be 37 when Ms. Brackett originally opened the door to the lot size splits going from what would be 10 to fives in the rural residential category. And then apparently on Mr. Sajian's own motion, they then added a potential granny units there, which would allow another 160 lots. And so what I told them, and I think is significant, is that under the Mulholland decision, which was a determination about having a total of 33 homes, and it was litigated, and it was determined by Judge Burke that was environmentally significant, and an EIR was required on that project. They tried to negative deck that on through, that they should consider doing the environmental documents. because I think that by charging you guys with doing those documents, I think that's solely misplaced. And I think that's something that the county needs to be informed and needs to follow, is putting the environmental documents and doing the overall planning where it belongs, which is with them. And I think, you know, I was able to hopefully make that fairly clear to them with the documents that went into the record, and then they in fact did decide that they were going to be the responsible and lead agency. I'm sorry, they were the lead agency under CEQA to do that review. And so they're going to be doing the review, which is of course in your planning area. And when they do those planning area standards change, that is exactly what it does, is it increases the density. And I do suspect, and I don't think this is confidential, but with TDCs, I'm not winning the battle there, folks, at the county in the sessions. And I do suspect the TDCs are going to be increasing additional density within the URL. Now, would that increase water use? I would tend to think it would a little bit. How much? I don't know. Right now, it's a 50% density bonus. But that's something else that's going to be coming. And hopefully, if and when that does come, as you know, Ms. Frederick is the attorney of record for the Committee for Rural Preservation. I think that that's going to be another density increase, and if they do that, hopefully we can, or we will once again be able to put that environmental determination where it squarely belongs, in my opinion, which is the county's making the decisions. They ought to stand behind them, and I think that's a real big problem with the Robertson annexation and certainly with the changes in Summit Station. So,
thank you. Any other comments?
John Snyder, 662 Eclipsis Road, outside the district. Well, I think there's a couple of points here, since this is sort of a general free-for-all topic subject here that's apparently limited. I think, first of all, it's important to note that in the documents here, you received some tables that had production, consumption, and unaccounted for water by percent. And if math doesn't serve me correct, basically you have 0.11%, for example, on the town and Black Lake Division combined, when in reality it's 11%. So you guys have been running a much higher unaccounted for water. And when you look at
John, where did you get that on the soil
water? The chart? Oh, page, any one of the pages are calculated, you know, it's like somebody didn't put percent on the Excel spreadsheet.
I think he was asking about where you get the percentage.
Well, you guys calculated it in this chart.
Okay.
We just didn't put 11% with a percent sign after it, you put 0.11. That you labeled it percent. So there's a difference between 11% and 0.11%. The point being that it's 11%, or, you know, it's a big number, not a fraction of one. So, but that's important when you look at this letter from the county, and they ask about your water conservation plan, and I think you guys need to be considering that in your urban water management plan that you don't have for some reason. I think that's, as the lead agency around here on a lot of things, and really morally the guys who should be out in front, as Mr. Carter has said, on a lot of these issues, that's lacking on your guys' part. There's been a lot said about Cal Cities. The district is different from Cal Cities. One of the things is that the district, the board has an oath here that they'll follow the laws of the state of California, Constitution of the United States, and so that makes you different than Cal Cities. Mike has talked about the doomsayers, and I find that interesting because, as far as I can tell, the doomsayer is NCSD. Their official position on the status of the groundwater basin is that it's overdrafted. That was done in 1987, and Mr. Jones has completely misquoting what the moratorium was about, and I suggest that each of the board members get a copy of that, because the whereas, it's whereas the basin is overdrafted, we'll have a moratorium. It wasn't whereas we don't have a big enough well. And so it's the board, or not the board, it's the NCFD that's the doomsayer. If you have information that says there's not doom, you need to not just allude to it in some, oh, we can't talk about it manner, but get to the point and come to some sort of decision. I think that's really the important part. And the other part of that is that the cost, the question is, what solution is there? Well, the solution is pretty simple. There's a lot of ways to get water, and it's a question of who's going to pay for them. And that's your connection charge. And there's very little discussion about the connection charge. You have a connection charge assuming you're going to be pumping well water. So if you annex a bunch of homes, assuming you're going to use well water, and the judge comes down and says, no, your prediction of doom is actually correct because you haven't changed your mind in time, cuts the water supply for you guys, that basically means you're going to be subsidizing all of those new hookups where they should have been paying a hookup fee for whatever the supplemental water source is. In reality, they'll just have paid the water fee for well water, and then you'll find yourself without well water. So you guys would be taking the risk, which gets you back to Cal Cities. If you guys really believe there's a problem and you don't connect people, and Cal Cities does, when the judge comes along and says, hey, you know, you're going to have a cutback, Cal Cities will have a similar cutback, and they'll be the ones who have to pay for the more expensive water and will be subsidizing those new developments. So it's a question of who's going to be subsidizing in the future. Assuming you guys don't change your mind and decide there's not an overdraft, which I think is highly likely soon. But I think those are some important points. And then I also just wanted to point out one thing. I always believe in looking behind the big curtain, and I think everybody should just, you know, walk on to Eucalyptus Road there. And really it is there just to not bother the neighbors. There's nothing secret about it. And if you talk to one of those guys, the humongous well there, I believe it's been described as, is rumored by the guys who actually drilled the hole and pumped water to be a 500-gallon per minute well when they're done with it. And it's essentially standing right next to a 200-gallon per minute well. So it's not really as big as it's been made out to be. You might also watch The Wizard of Oz. I think they did the same thing there.
Floyd.
Floyd, yeah. You know, so they kind of know what they're doing.
He's one of the better ones.
Yeah. So I think that's the end of my comments, but it's really this board's decision about whether there's enough water for the people you serve. It's not the county. The county will issue permits until you guys say you can't serve them. So you can't really blame the county. Thank you.
I just wondered, John, did you find out why they were drilling that well on Eucalyptus?
What, for a couple hundred gallons per minute?
Yeah, why
more?
They were drilling the well?
Well, probably because...
You ought to investigate and see why they were drilling that well.
Well, because they occasionally have hookups. Their hookup rate is nothing compared to yours.
No, not the reason.
Well, maybe you could enlighten us on that.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. Well, that's another one of those...
I'm not out of confidence to say why they were drilling the well.
Okay.
Thank you.
But if this board policy changes, their hookup rate would accelerate greatly.
Any other board comments on this paper item?
What?
Any more public comments, I should say. Nobody seems to be jumping up. Any more board comments? I don't want to discuss this at length.
Well, I appreciate being able to discuss this with the board, because normally it's against the Brown Act to discuss things with more than one board member, so I've kind of gotten a more positive view of what each board member stands for. And my main thing is that I live in Napomo, and I have my business in Napomo, and until we get supplemental water and find out where we're going, we're all at risk here. Until we find out the truth, until the litigation is over, to find out what direction we can go in, this district can go in. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Continue right on. We're on the E1, District Personnel Policies and Procedures. We're going to work on getting some dates.
May I have that on the record, please? That last part. Word for word? If I could. Or close. I forget to say on the record. Thank you.
At least we know who we're looking
at. That's good.
Hey, what? Judith, what paper was Cacho quoted in?
The Tribune this morning.
Cool.
I read the newspaper every morning.
Why are you doing that? I switched papers. I went back to it
District policy?
That definition that we said, I was looking at the wrong set of minutes. That was number 16, not number 4. Oh, okay.
16. You want to recess?
Yes.
Board discuss personnel policies.
Yes.
Board has any objection? We'll take a 5 minute recess.
Yeah.
And come back and discuss E1.
The other gentleman is not here with us.
Oh, no.
Okay. Wasn't taking notes, I was just curious.
Sometimes I ask questions that are going on for a day.
I know, me too. Just
to
say it out
loud.
Yeah,
I've been involved in both things.
Yeah, I don't like
right left hand.
I don't like homeowners association either.
Some
people swear by it.
Remember, item.
Our 10-minute break is up, and people are dribbling in, and we will go into other business, E1, District Personnel Policies and Procedures. And do you want to explain this, Mr. Jones, or do you want
to? Well, the league has done a better job putting this document together. That was pretty much reviewed by the subcommittee of yourself and Director Wynn. And it's pretty much in the final form now. It's brought to the board for their review and approval, which will be sent out to the employees. And so their review and comment and final thing back to the board for adoption. As indicated in the staff report, there's a number of dates that are left open for procedural aspects. The first vote we assume maybe setting up by June 7th, or have all the data. We assume that by June 7th. And then, of course, it will be considered probably hopefully tomorrow to all the employees. And then after coming back on the 7th, that ad hoc committee would have a chance to review for a week or so. That would be maybe June 17th to the 21st. And then the red line version with the ad hoc committee comments on it would be run back to the board at the end of June, day 28th, or give them a copy. And then final adoption would be the 15th of July.
What work? Attempting to do here is sort of maximize to the greatest extent possible our employees' participation in the process. So what we've done is we've adopted a tentative draft that we want to make the district board of directors aware of. And by the way, director comments are welcome too.
I'm sure.
So just want to make sure that just because we introduced this today, we're not saying that there can't be director comments. In fact, what the process that we envisioned was to request both director comments and employee comments, and to have them and who else?
Public.
Public comment and have it brought back to the ad hoc committee, of course, all of the comments would be disclosed. But what the ad hoc committee's recommendations with respect to the comments and the rationale for how they handled them, ultimately it would come back to the board for the full board's approval, of course, for it. But we thought, how can we do this orderly? Well, the best orderly way to do it, of course, is to address written comments only, because that way we know precisely what they want. Of course, the Brown Act is going to require us to take oral comments, too, at the adoption hearing. Hopefully there won't be any, or there won't be substantive ones. But if there are, we can always continue the meeting until we get them resolved. And what we wanted to do here today was sort of set some dates for expectations as to when we could reasonably receive, giving the employees, the board members, and the public ample opportunity to read it, comment on it, and then get their comments back to the ad hoc committee. How much time would that take? That's really the key question. And then how much time will it take the ad hoc committee to review and address those comments and get them back to the board? Are kind of the key milestone dates.
My thought is 2 weeks from the time to get their copies and the time to get their written comments back.
So we suggested June 7th, which is public 3 weeks.
Maybe 3 weeks, okay. You got that. Got a week on all my thinking. Okay, June 7th. Do you have written comments?
Written comments from the interview. Are you going to discuss any of this today?
No.
No,
we weren't.
The only major thing that I would say that maybe some discretion would be the standby policy.
Okay. I don't like that.
Well, we can discuss it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we have written comments. Basically, we came up with a meeting that Mike and I had. So we have June the 7th for the written comments from the board directors, the employees, and anybody else. And then they will give them to Mike and I, and we will review them. And answer them.
Or incorporate them.
Or answer them one way or another. Yeah. Either incorporate them or have a reason why we considered them and didn't consider them. Would that be on what date?
June 17th.
Lisa, what time does the district close at night? So, if these guys are on call, then what time do they close? Do they close at 4:30? So they're on call from 4:30 till 8 in the morning.
Okay. And then the red line is the first you come in on the, with all the comments incorporated on the 28th of June.
Right.
And then the adoption of the first draft, or the final draft, you said.
Yeah, I just want to alert the board, not that my participation would be critical in any of this process, is that the last week of June, I'm going to be in a tent in the Sierras without a cell phone, without a fax, just dirty, muddy, and with a fishing pole in my hand. So,
you got your permit?
Not yet. My father-in-law always buys it for me.
I'm going to be gone into that time, too.
Well, that gives Mike and I some more time to work on it.
So, what dates are we going to use then?
July 17th.
That'd be the final adoption, the final draft on July 17th.
And the red line version would be July 15th.
The only critical one is the June 7th one, which everybody should have their written comments into.
July 5th is a Friday, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be a work in progress on Thursday and Friday. People like 10 days, 3 days to join.
We can do some
that way. Friday before the movement.
Maybe we ask if we need to ask them to.
Yeah. I think so.
That'd be July
12th. 12th.
Which one's that one for?
That's the red line.
Red line is like
completed.
Jeez, that's just how we've been out of the year. So that's basically everybody can get their comments in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, bad, or indifferent. And the employees will also have the same 3 weeks in which to have their comments in. Besides the meeting they have at that. So we're done with this one?
And also, we ask that the employees be given the opportunity of sitting in that portion of the meeting if they wish to comment, or is that a good idea?
They come to any public meeting and comment.
Well, but it's during their working hours.
There's a lot of ways to handle this, but I think one of the things the board could offer, if there is a particular employee that wants to speak to the board, you know, to summarize their comments, I think the board ought to be able to be in a position of saying, you know, so Lee, whoever wants to come in and do it, that they should be able to come in during the working period to have one representative there to.
We've actually found that the meeting with staff was very helpful to us, and many times when we thought we might like to do this or that, they could tell us, well, when you're actually doing the work, here's why this works better than that, and so forth. And other board members might want to benefit from that same kind of question and answer.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is I think it'd be difficult, this is legal counsel being angry, but I think it'd be difficult to say, okay, well, I mean, we could schedule a night meeting. That way they could all come if they wanted to come, and maybe you could ask them if that's what they wanted to do. Or the board could authorize the general manager to release one employee during a regular meeting to come in and speak for the rest of the board members.
My guess is that Lee could speak for the field crews, and Lisa could probably speak for the office folks or Donna.
Yeah, the employees have a spokesman.
Informally.
Okay.
Informally.
But if all the written comments are submitted and acted on and accepted, then wouldn't it be sure?
All right.
Excuse me, is that spokesman, and forgive this terminology, self-appointed, or
no.
Does it appear to be, does he or she appear to be a true representative? Can you tell?
I think that's an excellent idea. They can always refuse it. I mean, we're not in the position of saying you have to have one, but we could certainly say we'd request that you.
Yeah.
If you want to have a spokesman, we'll release that person from, if we're going to hold the morning meeting, we'll release them from their job for an hour to come on down and make a presentation. I think that's an excellent
idea. Or at least be available to answer questions from the board.
One of the things I thought I'd just, and I'm going to speak to the choir because I know two board members and at least two of the staff members, but, you know, we have gone through a long process. I just want board members to know in putting this together, we have reviewed many other agencies' policies in coming up with this. We didn't reinvent too many wheels in struggling through this. You're going to take a look at, it's already come up, is the policy on standby. And I just want the board members, their comments are welcome, they're good, and it's we look forward to seeing if there's something even better we can do. I just want the board to know that we reviewed every standby policy from the northern tip of the county to Santa Maria, and what we thought was, you know, what the ad hoc committee thought was an appropriate one. They just weren't just sort of picked out. And we had discussions, and with most of the policies that are really directed at direct labor issues, for example, when you take a look at our workman's comp policies and our apportionment of our ability to transfer sick leave policies to or sick leave to another employee, or any of those technical ones. Again, we reviewed many policies, and we actually had outside legal counsel because those are very litigation-driven areas in personnel policies to review and improve. So I just want to, you know, a lot of work went into them, and a lot more work will go into them with the comments back, but I want to make sure everybody understands that there was, we think, for our speaking for the ad hoc committee, there was a solid foundation for what is in those policies as they're drafted. They may not be, you know, more work needs to be done, but I just want to make it clear that
Was this the first personnel policies and procedures for the district?
No, but I can say that my guess is that these personnel policies were pirated after Oceano's personnel policies, which Oceano has long since revised their policies. And it's what happens when a district is formed. They just find something and they adopt it because they're in that sort of rush mode to get things in place. And they were in place before I joined the district, which was 8, 9, 10 years ago, I forget now. But and I think they've proceeded a long time. And they look really close to the Oceano policies. And again, that board has subsequently adopted revised their policies.
Well, and there were a lot of things that are being done in terms of personnel that have no background for it. It's just one habit after another is accumulated. This is what we usually do. And I don't think there's anything to abuse, but there's been no policy that actually spells it out. And where there was no policy, there were different opinions as to what should happen or shouldn't happen, and there was nothing to go by.
And one of the other things that happens when you adopt, it's just what Mike was saying. What happens with personal, like many policies, is they get put in a back shelf and you start running the district's personnel issues without reference back to the policies because you've built up this format or way of doing things irregardless of what the personnel policies say. And that can always get you in legal trouble. What this does is it refocuses everybody on what the policies are. To a certain extent, once they're adopted, you're going to start a new day where the policies will be relied on and all of the folklore of how we managed things in the past will no longer have any relevance. You know, I mean, there'll be something solid upon which management and labor to rely on as far as what the real true policies are.
Is labor union?
No, we're not.
So the field workers aren't union?
No. And what that usually means is not union, I mean, organized under the Millis Brown.
No, I'm going to put in a comment on the standby because I was union and my union and I sued the state of California and changed the standby laws. I mean, they did a certain couple of things and I got a substantial refund from the state, which tickled me to death, didn't tickle Department of Corrections too much, but and we laid out some sort of guidelines for standby and callback because one of the things is when you're on call, when you go out and get called out and then come back and get called out again, they took the position that you were on the clock so you should go back out voluntarily, and I took the position whenever I turn the key in my truck, somebody pays. If I go home and go home and watch a beer, watch TV or whatever I do, fire that truck up again, somebody's got to pay for that truck to move. And if the state of California or whoever the attorneys were, some administrative law judge went along with that.
We don't have their own truck, so.
No, yeah. But you take a truck to go get that truck.
No,
and
no, they have their own truck.
I don't want to. Get entangled in this too much. Let me just comment on the standby policy, just real quick. The state of California is going to have significantly different personnel policies related to standby, wage, hours of work, and all that stuff, because they are governed by the government code. And believe me, the California government code for state employees also has rules and regulations that are this thick that govern personnel issues as far as wage, hours of work, overtime, standby time. We are not subject to those rules and regulations. We are subject to the Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the federal government. So we I just want to make sure everybody kind of, because this is going to come up. State employees get this, and our employees get that. Well, there's a reason. We are under the Fair Labor Standards Act of the federal government on wage money issues, whereas state employees are subject to the government code and their own employment rules and regulations, and those folks aren't subject to the FLSA. So there's going to be differences.
See, that's what I nailed them on, was the Federal Labor Standards Act, because anything over 40 hours is time and a half. According to the federal,
right.
That's what the law says. If you work overtime, it's time and a half. So if you're out there on standby or callback, that's where they were trying to pay a straight time wage, and they tried to set it like this thing has a flat fee, like you get, and we told them you have to set an hourly fee, either 1 hour for every 4 hours or 1 hour for every 6 hours or something, that anything over 40 hours is time and a half, and it's covered in the federal law. And that's what this judge said. What part of the federal law don't you understand? That's why I collected $14,000. I mean, you've got to look at that.
And Bob, all I can tell you is that we did.
I'll just pass this in, and you can do what you want.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving right along.
We did, though, Bob.
Right. Okay,
you got the base settled. We're on consent agenda, item F.
Okay.
Any comments?
I have no problem with it. I would make a motion that we accept the consent agenda unless somebody has a problem.
I second that motion.
Motion made and seconded to accept the consent agenda as written. F1 warrants and F2 board meeting minutes April 17th, April 30th, and minutes of May 1st. Roll call vote, please.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Tyler?
Yes.
Director Worsley?
Yes.
President McGuire?
Yes. Next thing on is the manager's report.
I think this is something we see periodically when we were California State Association, which is the board on the state legislation. It's probably written in the paper this morning when the governor has adopted a bunch of stuff. We anticipate that our taxes, since we're an enterprise operation, although I haven't heard anything yet, they probably get hit and maybe completely gone away. About a quarter of an hour here. The Black Lake Variable Food Drive has been installed and being produced and operational. Black Lake has been offered on the air tie from last day until that was 2009. The Catastrophe Waterline Project, the county was quite concerned about issuing that a closure permit. On the so-called East Gap Street, which is existing public going across Test Street. The new six-inch pipeline went through the walls of the culvert, but it was slightly below the existing 8-inch, and the county was quite concerned about backup water and flooding. And also, the county has a preliminary design of the new culvert going across Test Street, which has not been finalized, and I suggest to the engineer that we terminate the temporary water line at Mallow Street. And until the county makes the final determination, we would eliminate that from the project. There's some concern about how much it's eliminated, and we can address that a little bit later. It meets our obligation of moving the water from Dana School to Mallow Street, which is a direct line up to the high school. And we anticipate putting the water line deep underneath the proposed culvert line and then through the other culvert. But the county bought from the other cover until we come up with a design. If they move the cover, then we have to go back in and dig up a deep line and have to just eliminate that one section So that's what we're trying to do.
Won't be as good a circulation that way, though, right?
Yeah, we're still making a circulation at the water east to west side. But what if, once the county can be terminated, which we anticipate next year, when the whole town is developed, then we'll finish up the work.
Then we'll finish it at that time. Okay.
And then Mr. Carter brought in this California Oral Atlas, which is supposed to be the law of the California State Atlas, Water Atlas, which is basically a state water project under Governor Brown. It has a lot of maps and beautiful photos there. Before we want to take a look at being in the office for a period of time. And Mr. Carter can expound on that.
I think that would be, maybe the board could individually take it home and bring it back to the next meeting, because it's really very enlightening.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Can I take it home first? Can I take it home first and I'll bring it back to keep it for like a week?
I didn't hear that.
I said, can I take it home first?
It's up to you.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it home first and read it and bring it back. How's that?
And I'll be next.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Any committee reports? Director's comments.
Yeah. We prevailed, I think. It's Kelly.
We'll work for you.
Some mistake. It looks like I might get my granny house yet. But it depends how long they take it. How long are they going to take to do the environmental impact report? That, you know, if they put that out.
The papers are 2 or 3 months for that.
Do they have to do it immediately, or can they just throw it at the bottom of the pile?
The soonest the county can vote on it is February of next year. The soonest.
All right, because they have so many changes per year.
Trust me.
I believe that. I told him yesterday, I've been going up there for 24 years because I bought that property up there in 78. I told him 6 more years I should get a pin like the people they gave yesterday.
Yeah, the way it reads, if you get water supply other than public energy, you should do something. If you have your own water supply, is that something from the public energy?
No, that's not it. It applies to everybody in the district, regardless of the water supply.
Any other comments, Mr. Blair?
No, except that just for the residents of Dale Avenue, the county put up some nice new signs there for the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
See those? Yeah. So that, I don't know if that's going to help any, but that's a step in the right direction.
So. Oh, for the board.
In prompt at 8 o'clock in this building. Christine Ferrara.
Before we continue, is she related to 24-hour Councilman Rotary?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Yes.
Oh, about you mean men's room?
You asked me the question. Okay.
Secondly, just for informative purposes, let you know I'm meeting with a committee that Cacho has encouraged to form a town hall meeting here, series through the summer on next fall, about a vision for Napomo, 93444. And I'll keep you up to date as that proceeds, but they definitely want a broad range of input, and of course all the directors are certainly encouraged to participate at that time. Next, it would be helpful if, as soon as we know the starting dates for the excavation on West Tef, that the people at the library in particular and Dan Elementary be told what those dates are, because they have programs, summer programs, with all kinds of kids and all kinds of stuff. And just to set their minds at ease that they're going to have the ability to get in and out and report however that works. I met with their board yesterday, and they expressed some concern. I said, well, they need to talk to you guys. And I'm sure they were told well in advance. Fourth, I would like to ask staff to review what our situation is with compliance with our mandatory sewer hookup that we agreed to in 1985. We secured a loan for the sewer system. The agreement then was that it would be 100% compliance, and I understand that in order to complete our reporting that there was a sort of a formula agreed on, 1,000 hookups, and we'd call it quits, but we do have problems with sewage overflowing into other people's property from septic tanks that are here in the old town, and as a matter of public health and safety, I think we need to
put that on the agenda
and tell us where we are, because I don't think any of us have a clear understanding. And then we can agendize it and discuss it at that point. But I appreciate that. And I think that's everything. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
You may be 10 minutes.
Tomorrow with the county on that end and related.
Oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry. There was one more. This NCSD is supposed to be kept in the loop for the flood study that's being done in this area. I found out that an RFP was completed, and they've actually awarded the contract. And we are on the distribution list. I've seen letters that show us being receiving distribution. As far as I know, we have it. Cliff and I are supposed to be an ad hoc committee to help work on that. We've had no communication, and I'm a little concerned that that's sort of we're being bypassed. I know Doug called and left a message to find out where we are, but I would like to see us pick up on that.
That's the group with Herb Kenda.
Hmm?
That's the conservation group?
No, this is a county funded study that's done, was authorized in this year's budget and was recommended by the RAC. County flood control is George Gibson, now it's somebody else. I think Kristen Ferrara can put us to whoever's supposed to do it. We're supposed to work with us and others to sort of line out how far the study would go, who would be included. These are all critical issues for the design of the study. And we've heard nothing. But they are proceeding.
Judy?
I have a couple questions, probably Mr. Jones. What size water pipe was installed for Summit Station?
8-inch.
And how long is that?
It's 10-inch from the tank up to the metric and then the rest of the system. It was initially designed for a 12-inch from the tank to Hedge Road, and then 10 inches throughout the system. It cost another $4,000 per system, something like that. But the people didn't want to pay that additional amount, so it was downsized, mainly because the TDF came in and revised the fire bill. The system was designed for 1,000 gallons a minute, but then talking to the county revised their ordinance in rural areas, 2.5 acre parcels were larger, can get about 500 gallons per minute. That was originated by the county, therefore it was designed downsized from 1,000 to 500 gallons per minute. So it went from 10 inch to 8 inch.
And Mr. McBroughton said one time that that was quite a long pipe also.
I don't have the footage on it right offhand.
Miles, is it?
No, it's less than a mile. Because it's a mile and a half from our house to the intersection, so that's been about a half a mile.
We have all the plans in the
So the district doesn't have any 12-inch pipes in the district?
Oh, yeah, we have 12-inch. We go all up to 16-inch.
That's just this year? Or
no,
latest.
The 15-inch was put in 5 years ago.
That
goes
was from one of the wells.
The 12 inch was put over from the fire station to the usual.
There's a 12 inch that comes down from the standpipe, or standpipes up here too.
Yeah, there's a 12 inch. The half we have, if you like to look at schedule line sizes, our system is from 6 inch up to 15 inch.
I think it was a full of mess in the boil report.
Mm-hmm.
Inside
right.
And, you know.
Yeah, I recall now.
Yeah, they would take the study off of itemizes all of the piping in the equipment.
But see, in like an area like Summit Station or any other areas on acreage, if you don't have a fire hydrant, you can put in, I think it was a 2,500 or 5,000 gallon storage tank with the American Standard fitting, and that doubles as a fire standard. So. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need a fire hydrant.
Yeah, the 10th Street water line is a 15 inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
What mainly supplies water to this side of the.
Moving water from the.
Yeah, Mr. Trotter? Only, can you tell me not yet? I want to verify that at the special districts, I'm going to vote for Barbara Mann and Campbell. I don't know what the first name is.
Campbell.
Yeah,
Campbell, he's from
San Miguel.
San Miguel, yeah.
San Miguel, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to verify the two names,
because... he's a good
man. By the way, I noticed that the IWMA is holding their grand opening of the waste facility here on exactly the same day that the CSDA is meeting.
That's at night.
Well, then there's a 10 in the morning.
Yep.
When's the CSDA meeting?
That's
at night.
CSDA is in the evening. I'm just saying it's on the same day.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But one's at 10. I got it. One at 10 in the morning. And they're both, and one serves chili and the other has garbage. So.
And put your toxic waste.
And he opens exactly at 11, too. Any other director comments? Any closed sessions?
Yes, there? Mr. President. Two items I want to discuss with the board during
closed session.
One is the water line easement across the county park. District negotiator Doug Jones, the county negotiator Pete Jenny, regarding current price. And then I briefly want to discuss the Save the Mesa versus the Public Community Services District.